Okay, today's message reading comes from the third chapter of 2 Thessalonians. Say that fast three times. Beginning with the sixth verse. Our orders, backed up by the Master Jesus, are to refuse to have anything to do with those among you who are lazy and refuse to work the way we taught you. Don't permit them to freeload on the rest. We showed you how to pull your weight when we were with you, so get on with it. We didn't sit around on our hands expecting others to take care of us. In fact, we worked our fingers to the bone up half the night moonlighting so we wouldn't be a burden with taking care of us. And it wasn't because we didn't have the right to your support. We did. We simply wanted to provide an example of diligence, hoping it would prove contagious. Don't you remember the rule that we had when we lived with you? If you don't work, you don't eat. And now we're getting reports that a bunch of lazy good-for-nothings are taking advantage of you. This must not be tolerated. We command them to get to work immediately. No excuses, no arguments. Earn their own keep. Friends, don't slack off from doing your duty. Well, isn't that just a bed of roses this morning? Didn't you want to come to church and listen to a scripture that you're pretty sure that the pastor is going to follow up by saying, y'all are nothing but lazy good for nothings? Amen? Well, I wasn't going to preach on this because of that. Because as you know, I'm not always a fan of St. Paul, amen? And his theology sometimes, for me, just kind of goes around the bend. But, praise God, your pastor knows how to do exegetical work. And what exegesis is when you kind of dig in and you start peeling back the layers of the onion. Let me read something to you that I found in my study that might just change this whole passage. The key focus of the passage, however, should not surprise anyone who's been paying attention. Both verses 6 and 11, use a rare term that only occurs in these two verses in the New Testament. So it's the only place they're used. Okay? That's number one. And they're used to describe, quote, problematic ones, people who are causing problems. And while many translations have opted for the word lazy or idle on the principle that these people are refusing to work, classically this adverb comes from a word group, are you ready for this? Disorderly or disruptive. It fits, if you go back at Thessalonians to chapter 2, where Paul was talking about the fact that there are people that are just causing a ruckus because, well, let me give you an example, and yes, I'm going to say this out loud. If you stand on a street corner and you yell out, Trump is not my president, that's exactly what this verse is talking about. I don't care. We have a right to protest, folks. But Donald Trump was the duly elected president of the United States. Fair and square. The votes came in. It's an electoral college, by the way. He got the electoral vote. Now, what I tell people is, understand, it's an electoral college win. It is not a mandate. And this verse becomes even more important because you'll notice what I titled the sermon, What Now? I think that's what I said. Didn't I? Isn't that what I called it? Yeah. Well, or don't grow weary. Because I'm sure that everybody at this point is just hearing that the world is going to frickin' end. All right? This country has withstood the likes of Herbert Hoover, James Buchanan, okay? We are a country that is resilient. I, for instance, am not going back into any damn closet. You hear me? I am not going to shut my mouth, and I am not going to stay in my house and not continue to point out the deficiencies in the way that we treat each other. And yes, Donald Trump is the president-elect of the United States, and he will be my president, just as he is yours. Now, I've seen people, they've written some great letters about what their concerns are, but we are not going to disrupt this country, folks. If we've got to march, we'll march for a reason, amen? Amen. If we've got a reason to lay down in the streets and block traffic, we will do that only when the time comes. Not now. Not now when people are just unhappy because you lost. That is no better than what we accuse the other side of. And I refuse to go down that rabbit hole or be a part of that street. And it occurred to me, the more I read this, this is what Paul was talking about as far as the church is concerned, folks. That's what makes this church great. We've got all kinds of political persuasions in this church, and it doesn't matter because we all know that we are children of God. Now, that's my rant on that. Let me give you the rest of this, though, because I know that there are people out there and people that are going to be listening to this broadcast that are absolutely terrified. You do not know what's coming. We do not know what's going to happen. But the only thing that I could say to you today is that you're not alone. That's why this church has started handing out these hearts. Is to let anybody who knows or sees somebody from this church that's wearing one of these things, that you're loved, that you're accepted. And you know, there's another movement that's kind of going out that came from the British with the safety pins. The people are wearing safety pins to tell people that if you're with me, you're safe. Well, you know what, folks? I thought that's kind of neat as a movement because you know what? Our church has always been a place where you were safe. And it will continue to be a place where you are safe. We don't care what your history is, and we're not too concerned about your future, except as it relates to how your relationship with God works. And the way your relationship with God works is this: know that you are loved, know that you are respected, know that we will fight to our dying breath to make sure that your dignity is intact. So that means that we will continue to make sure that the homeless in our community are not the targets of the police. We will continue to do things that will, in fact, enable people who are homeless and without jobs that they have their dignity. We will continue in this church to remind folks that it's not about creeds, it's not about dogma, it is not about fitting in with the right crowd, but instead it is about your relationship with God. You do not have to be afraid. This is not any different than any other time. Now, sadly, on the 20th of November, I will be going to what has become an annual event called Transgender Day of Remembrance, where those in our community remember the transgender people that have literally been killed in the past year. Well, no, let me correct that. Slaughtered. You know, that has not changed with the election of this particular president. It is still going on. And yes, there are people out there that think they now have an excuse. Well, put a heart on, baby. Put a safety pin on. Read this verse. Don't be the ones that sit there and idly do nothing. Remember what we learned in James? If you know what is good and you don't do it, that is evil. Remember that, folks. Remember that. That we have got to, more than ever before, be aware of our surroundings, and more importantly, we have got to be able to stand in front of our mirrors at home and look into that mirror and say, you know what? I am a child of God. I am uniquely and wonderfully made, and I am good. And it will make a difference, folks, on how you handle your life and the challenges that we're faced with. I was told this week that some people tuned out of my sermons because I didn't tell enough stories. So here's a story. There was this dude, had a job, hated the job, hated his boss, thought his boss stunk. He felt like he worked far too much and too many hours. And now, of course, this is back in the 50s, okay? Because that's important that you understand that. And on his way home from work one day, he had decided that he was going to pack his stuff, sell everything he had, and he was going to move someplace else because where he lived and the state he lived in, well, quite frankly, it sucked. He got about halfway home, and he noticed in a bush some kind of piece of paper. And I don't know why, but he walked over, and he picked it out of the bush. And you know what it was? It was a $1,000 bill. $1,000 bill. And the dude was like, oh my, God has heard my prayer. And the guy had $1,000 now that he had a, and of course back in the 50s, you got to understand, $1,000 was like $10,000 today, amen? You know, you find $10,000, you're going to feel like you've got a safety net under you all of a sudden, right? He went to work the next day and all of a sudden work didn't matter. It didn't matter how many hours he had to work. It didn't matter that his boss was a curmudgeon. Because he knew that any moment he could walk out, because he had $1,000 backing him up. His attitude changed so much that his boss noticed it. And in 6 weeks, he got a promotion. And 6 weeks after that, he got another promotion. He became a regional director. And he thought, well, you know, now's probably as good a time as any since I'm going to be staying here to deposit that $1,000 into a savings account. And he took it to the bank, gave it to the teller, and as soon as he gave it to the teller looked at him and said, you need to come with me. Excuse me? And they brought him into an office, and they set him down, and there was an armed guard there. And the teller said, where did you get this? And he said, does it belong to somebody? I found it in a bush. And the teller looked at him and said, well, this $1,000 that you think you have, you don't have. It's a counterfeit bill. But wasn't it amazing how his life changed when he thought he had backup? Hear what I'm saying to you this morning, folks. God is your backup. God is your $1,000 check. God is the one who loves you unconditionally, and there is nothing, nothing in all of God's world that can come between you and that relationship. Do not be afraid. Live your life like the gift to the world that you are. God bless you.